I turn to Mr. Snap at the Snowflakes. Did you just say something?
What?
I said, did you just say something?
I said, what?
No, before that. Something about being blind or tied up in a gunny sack?
Well, let's see. Got him! That snowflake won't make a drift.
Concentrate, Drover. This could be important. Unless I'm badly mistaken, what we have here is the case of the mysterious blind man's voice.
Gosh! Got another one.
Did you say anything about being blind?
I don't think so. If I said anything, it was probably about snowflakes. Boy, this is fun!
My interrogation of Drover was leading nowhere. I was pretty much convinced that he was telling the truth and that the mysterious voice hadn't been his. And it had been too low and too loud to have come from little Alfred. That left, well, nobody but me as a suspect. And I was almost positive that suddenly I noticed a gunny sack on the bed of the pickup. It was moving. You think I didn't let out a bark? You think the hair on my back and neck didn't stick straight up? Hey, anytime I see a gunny sack moving around on the bed of a pickup, I mean, that ain't natural. Gunny sacks don't move around unless... Oh, I'd almost forgot. Let me rephrase what I just said about the so-called mysterious voice and the movable gunny sack. I wouldn't want to be quoted out of context. What you supposed was a mysterious voice coming out of nowhere actually belonged to Wallace the Buzzard. You had probably forgotten that we had left him tied up in the gunny sack, see, and it was the buzzard, that's the point. He had made the voice, and he had caused the gunny sack to move around. I wanted to clear that little detail up before we went any further. Just as I had suspected, Wallace the Wounded Buzzard had begun to stir in his sack. He was calling for Junior, and it appeared that he wanted out. I looked at little Alfred, and he looked at me.
It's the buzzard.
It had taken the boy a while to catch on. He was a little slow on the draw, but heck, he was only a kid. You have to give these kids a little time to develop their... Alfred stood up and walked over to the sack. It was wiggling around.
Do you reckon I should wet him out? Maybe the poor buzzard can't breathe.
Letting the buzzard out of the sack didn't strike me as a real good idea. Not at that particular moment. I mean, we were parked in the middle of town, right? And Slim hadn't come out of the swimming pool yet, and... No, opening the sack was a bad idea. There's an old saying about squeezing toothpaste out of the tube or letting a cat out of the bag or opening Pandowdy's box or something like that. And although I can't pull it out of the vapors right this minute, it's an excellent old saying. And the point of it is that buzzards should be left in their sacks. But little Alfred had a mind of his own, and he went to fiddling with the tie string on the neck of the sack. I sat and watched, shook my head, whimpered, thumped my tail against the pickup bed, did everything I could to discourage the little stinkpot from doing what he was fixing to do. But he did it anyway. Drover, our little pal is fixing to open Pandowdy's box. And once the cat's out of the bag, we'll never get him back into the toothpaste tube. He stared at me and twisted his head to the side.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a wreck.
Oh, was anybody hurt? Got another one.
Stand by for battle stations. I've got a feeling... No sooner did the cake string fall away from the neck of the sack than Wallace emerged in all his flapping, squawking, buzzard glory. Junior, son, the scales have fell from my eyes, and I can see the light. And son, it's a glorious light. It will light up the night, and it will light up the darkness, and it will light up the path for the people, and the people will come to the light, and they will be enlightened by that bright and shining light. Little Alfred stared at the buzzard with big moon eyes. He turned to me and said,
uh-oh.
And I nodded my head. He'd done it now. He'd let the buzzard out of the bag, and that buzzard showed signs of being at least two-thirds crazy. Wallace was awake, and he was talking, but he still couldn't fly, and it appeared that he thought Alfred was his son, Junior. That's pretty crazy. Son, all these years your old daddy has lived a wasteful life and has never cared about nobody but himself and his next meal. But today, on this very spot and at this very moment, your old daddy has seen the light and has decided to run for public office. That caught Drover's attention, and all at once he quit snapping at snowflakes. His head came around real slow.
Did you hear what I just heard?
I heard it, Drover. Now ask me if I believe it.
Do you believe it?
Negative.
Me too.
Little Alfred must have realized that he'd made a mistake, because he made a grab at the buzzard. But buzzards, even those that are wounded and dingy in the head, are big birds, and it takes more than a 4-year-old boy to get one under control. For his efforts, little Alfred got thrashed by Wallace's wings.
Unhand me, son. This world of darkness and trouble is waiting for the news of my campaign for public office.
Wallace hopped up and waddled his way towards the rear of the pickup bed. Drover and I happened to be in his path. You can stop right there, Wallace. This thing has gone. He stuck his ugly beak into my face.
Dog, have you ever been throwed up on by a big, mean buzzard?
No, sir, I can't say as I have.
Step aside before you do.
Yes, sir. I stepped aside. Little Drover scrambled out of the way and took cover behind me. Wallace went to the back end of the pickup and called to a group of town dogs who happened to be walking past. The thought crossed my mind that he shouldn't have done that. Those dogs were big and scruffy and looked about half mean.
Y'all come over here. That's right, come over here and hear this important announcement which I'm a-fixin' to make. For you see, this is a very important day in the history of this town and this world.
The dogs exchanged glances, smirked at each other, and came rumbling over. Uh-oh. It was Buster and Muggs and the other two hoodlums. Wallace, I think you're about to...
You hush up, Pooch! You'll never learn nothing in this life as long as your mouth stays open.
You'd better take your own advice, is my advice to you.
I never take advice from a dog.
He turned back to the dogs who had gathered down below.
It gives me great pleasure, indeed, great pleasure, to make the following public announcement to all the public and all the people in all the world. For I have seen the light and have made the most important decision of my life and your life.
There was a moment of silence. Wallace puffed himself up, threw back his head, and went on.
In this very place, at this very moment, of this very day, after long years of silence on the many important issues of the times, I have decided to answer the call of my many, many friends and supporters and run for the office of His Feathered Majesty.
Down below, the thugs stared at him with open mouths. There was a moment of stunned silence. Then, they all burst out laughing, and Buster turned to Muggs.
Who is this guy?
I don't know, boss, but he sure looks like a turkey to me, and we ain't got no Christmas turkey yet.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Turkey for Christmas would be all right, wouldn't it, Muggsy?
Yeah, it sure would, and it was my idea too, wasn't it, boss, huh? Wasn't it? Tell the truth.
Shut up, Muggs.
Wallace went on with his speech.
Experience! That's what I bring to this contest, friends and neighbors. Nobody in this race has more feathers than Wallace the Buzzard. I was born with feathers. I've worn them all my life, and I plan to leave this old world with my feathers on. Where do I stand on the issues? I stand right here, and you have my solemn pledge that I will throw up on all ninnies that don't vote the right way. I'm for cleaning the dead rabbits off these highways. I'm for adequate moisture. And you want to know what I'm against?
From down below, there was a chorus of
no.
That didn't faze old Wallace. He was on a roll.
I'm against elm beetles. Elect me to this great office, and I will personally and single-handedly lead a moral crusade against these corrupt agents who are killing our beautiful elm trees along the creek. That's my promise, and that's my pledge to you on this very day as I stand before you, a candidate for public office. If elected, I will pass a law against elm beetles.
Thugs were getting restless, and I could see that they had bad things in mind for a certain buzzard. Little Alfred must have seen it too. He climbed off the pickup bed and headed for the swimming pool hall as fast as his little legs would carry him. Not a bad idea, because I had a feeling that things were about to get out of hand.